Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to this week's Torah portion from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. This message is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com. themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. This week's Torah portion is Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. It is Genesis 23, starting at verse 1 to Genesis 25, verse 18. The Haftarah is 1 Kings 1, verses 1 to 31, and the Brit Hadashah is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 57. Before we get started, let's say a word of prayer. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu, melech haolam. Blessed are you, our Lord, our God, King of the universe, Creator of all things. You are the Yehovah Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah. And we thank you for our forefathers, for your word, for your feasts and your Shabbats. And I just ask that you bless every one of your people this Shabbat in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Whenever anybody dies in a family, what usually happens is we all sit around telling stories about them and recounting their life. And so one of the things I want to do in this Torah portion is recount the life of Sarah. It says here that she was 127 years old when she died. I believe Sarah died thinking that Isaac, the only son that she had, that she had given birth to in her old age, and that was the promised son that she could give to Abraham to fulfill her covenant with Abraham. She thought he was dead. And so I think it was just too much for her grief, and she just died over it. But one of the things that I want to point out about Sarah is that because she was Abraham's wife, she probably had many of the characteristics of Abraham, which is, she had the characteristic of obedience. She had the characteristic of hospitality and respectfulness. And she wanted to fulfill her covenant to Abraham by giving Abraham a son when she believed that it was not possible. So she, according to her testimony, her personal life, we can see that she very often put others before herself because she had a legal obligation to do so, but probably also out of love. I believe that she loved Abraham very much. And so she gave him Hagar. Sooner or later, it became necessary for her to protect her own son against Hagar's son, and we know what happened there. But again, she was fulfilling her obligation to Abraham and then to the Lord, because this son, Isaac, came to her as a blessing to Abraham, but he came from the Lord. And so she felt the need probably to, protect Isaac from Hagar's son, who was, by the way, being abusive to Isaac. The book of Jasher and other rabbinical texts suggests that Isaac was being harassed sexually by Ishmael. So that, among other things. So Sarah had the fierceness of the bride. She had the spirit of the Ezer Kenegdo, the one that helps to build the house and uses her power to do so. So the character of Sarah is very much tied up with the character of Abraham, with obedience, as I said before, and with respect, respectfulness of others, and hospitality. And in fact, our first Torah portion with Abraham had to do with his obedience. The second Torah portion with him had to do with hospitality and loyalty. That's another characteristic that Abraham showed. And then this Torah portion has to do with the respectfulness that Abraham showed toward the other people who were Gentiles around him, We come to this understanding in the way that he dealt with Ephron, who dwelt among the children of Heth, and the way that he respectfully bowed himself. Why does the Lord have to tell us that Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land there in Genesis 23:12? Well, I believe that the Lord gives us little details about Abraham like that because he wants us to see what great care and character Abraham had, and that Sarah would have been like him, you see. Now, it says here in Genesis 23:13, and he spoke to Ephron, that's Abraham spoke to Ephron, in the audience of the people of the land, saying, "But if you will give it, I pray you hear me, I will give you money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there." Now, he had asked for a piece of property where he could bury Sarah, and Ephron had said that he would give the field to Abraham and the cave that was on it. But Abraham said, "No, I want to give you money for it." Why didn't Abraham accept the gift? Why didn't he accept that field as a gift? Well, first of all, you'll remember at Salem, he refused the spoil that came from his foray to get Lot. Remember that when he went out to rescue Lot and the king of Sodom wanted to give him part of the spoil from that. Abraham refused. Why? Well, because he had already been with Melchizedek and had raised his hand in an oath to the Lord. And because he now is in covenant with the Lord, he is getting blessings from the Lord, and that means he cannot accept any kind of gain from another king. Otherwise, that king would be able to say that he had made Abraham rich. And so Abraham was proving that he was not going to be enriched by any other king except Jehovah. And so the same thing here, when he is refusing to accept the field as a gift from Ephron. You see, he would have been beholden to Ephron for accepting that gift, and that would have also put him into the position of being in covenant with Ephron. And so he was upholding the covenant and being loyal to the Lord. So here we have, again, we see the quality of loyalty. So we have now four qualities of Abraham: obedience, hospitality, respectfulness, and loyalty. And you'll recall in our understanding of love that love and loyalty are the same thing in the ancient Near East. Well, the reason that I'm mentioning these qualities of Abraham, his character and his characteristics, and those of Sarah as well, is because I have an angst for the Hebrews who are descended from Abraham today. I have an angst of an anxiety for the house of Judah and the house of Israel, because I don't see these qualities among us. Now, I will tell you that these qualities tie into prophecy. First, these characteristics play into the future of the Hebrew nation and whether or not the exiles are going to be allowed to come home. It also plays into the nature of the kingdom. It is my personal belief that these four characteristics of Abraham, obedience, hospitality, respectfulness, and loyalty, are the characteristics of folks who are going to inhabit the kingdom. And in fact, I think Paul tells us this in his writings, that there are just certain things that people are going to do that will get them out of the kingdom or keep them out of the kingdom. And then there are certain other behaviors that will have them be able to be in the kingdom. Well, if you condense Paul's list down, you will condense it down to these four qualities of Abraham: obedience, hospitality, respectfulness, and loyalty. So, when I see among my brethren that we're lacking in a very general sense in our community these characteristics, it concerns me, because it is these things that Yeshua taught as well. And the reason he taught them is because these are actually what the Torah is about. We're not called to make sure that we get the mechanics of the Torah correct as much as we are called to get the spirit of the Torah correct. And obedience, hospitality, respectfulness, and loyalty or love are the four issues that are addressed throughout the Torah. And we call these things kindness. We also say that these are related to the fruits of the Spirit. You know, if we have the Holy Spirit, then we're going to be patient and kind and gentle and have love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. These are all the fruits that Abraham showed, and they can all fall under one of those four characteristics that we've seen in Genesis, in the story of Abraham. And so when I see it lacking among us from group to group and from person to person and from house to house, from the house of Judah to the house of Israel and back, it concerns me because it affects our future. It affects whether or not we're going to get to go home. And I want to also explain that our personal behavior is actually a prophecy about our personal selves. Our personal behavior is a prophecy about whether or not we are going to get the blessings or the curses. And our behavior is also a teaching, it's an outward confession about what we think of the Lord and what we think of the Lord's kingdom and whether the Lord or the Lord's kingdom is worthy of our best behavior. You see, so we should, and I'm using that word very heavily, because we should be starting to concentrate more on loving and caring for others in the way that Yeshua did, in the way that Abraham did, in fulfilling even his most respectfulness to Gentiles, people that he wasn't even in covenant with, how respectful he was of them. We should be concentrating on that, which is the spirit of the law, rather than so much on the letter of the law. And I'm not saying to give up the letter of the law. It is important for us to get the mechanics right, but we must put the spirit that's intended to go with the mechanics of the Torah first. We must put the spirit first. And so Abraham's character shows us this. We call ourselves the children of Abraham. If we're the children of Abraham, we need to do what Abraham did. Is that not what Yeshua said to the Pharisees? They said, "We're the children of Abraham." And he said, "No, you're not. You're the children of another." And so that was because they were acting not as Abraham acted, but as their own father, you see. So I urge us all, I know this is a very short Torah portion for me. It's very unusual for me to speak this short, there's really not a whole lot that can be said about how to develop character. We have to just determine within ourselves that we're going to walk as our forefathers walked, trusting the Lord, having the faith or the halakha, doing the things of the Torah, being obedient to do also the personal things that the Lord calls us to do, and being loyal to the covenants, being loyal to each other, love and loyalty. We just have to say and make that determination within ourselves that we are going to be that way, because we want to be a light to the world, the way that Abraham was a light to the world there. He was a well-respected man. Otherwise, Ephron would not have offered to give the field and the cave for him to bury Sarah in, you see? And so Abraham had gained respect. He had gone out to rescue Lot, and he had gone to war with other kings to take care of things that needed to be taken care of in the region. He participated with them in making sure that things in the region got cleared up. And generally was a good character to be around. The Gentiles had respect for him. How many of us can say that when we walk away from a Gentile, that we're leaving them with light, or that they think the world is a better place because of us? You know, we can't even sometimes make the world a better place for our own brethren. Sometimes within our own families, we can't seem to make the world a better place. So, I've concentrated on these personal, what I'm calling personal prophecies, because our behavior is what the Torah portion is, what the Torah itself, rather, is supposed to teach us. It's how to kill our flesh, so that we exhibit the behaviors of the Lord Himself and our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, they had problems just like we do. They were human, they had weaknesses, and they had strengths. But they all seemed to, in the final analysis, overcome their weaknesses and make use of their strengths. How many of us can say that we're overcoming our weaknesses and making use of our strengths? So, I know this, again, is a short Torah portion, but I am trying to appeal to the Hebrew nation through this to please consider changing our behavior. There are people from the house of Judah now who are crying out for Joseph, for Ephraim to come home. Are they going to want us if we're coming to the land and being in battle with each other? I don't think so. So I'm just asking. I'm not saying that you have to do this. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm perfect at it myself. I'm just saying, let's consider that we need to do some character building in the Hebrew Roots community amongst ourselves, and make it a personal goal that we set for this Torah cycle, while we're still at the beginning of the Torah cycle, for us to look at the Torah cycles, at the Torah portions rather, and to say, what can I learn from this Torah portion that is going to build my character to be more like Yeshua, or to be more like Abraham or Isaac or Jacob? Instead of, how can I do the mechanics of the Torah and keep these commandments better so now I can go out and tell others how they're supposed to keep the commandments? You see, there's a whole different mindset there. And I'm not saying that we should abandon trying to teach people what to do about the commandments. I'm just saying that maybe our approach needs to be a little bit different. That's why we have to put the Spirit first. If you put the Spirit first, then the approach becomes better when you want to bring some correction to a brother or sister. Anyway, well, I hope this Torah portion, this short little Torah portion that I'm doing here about the life of Sarah and the character of Abraham has been a blessing to you. Shabbat Shalom.